Thank you so much, Malia, for that special number and for all the folks that helped us with our Christmas program this year. I'm not going to preach a full-length sermon this evening, so don't get nervous, but I would invite your attention to Isaiah chapter 61, please, with me. Isaiah 61. This is a passage of Scripture that was predictive of the ministry of Jesus Christ, our Messiah. During his earthly ministry, when he returned to Nazareth to preach in his boyhood synagogue, it is to this passage, Isaiah 61, that Jesus purposely turned. If we were to read the whole chapter tonight, and for the sake of time we will not, but if we were to read the whole chapter tonight, we would find that Isaiah 61 is a chronological roadmap of not only the ministry of Jesus Christ in his first coming, but ultimately of the wrath of God that will come to this world during Daniel's 70th week, that is the tribulation period. I've spoken a lot about that on Sunday mornings. And then, following that, the kingdom age, when Jesus Christ will rule and reign. That is chronologically presented for us in Isaiah 61. I'd like us to look at verse number 1, Isaiah 61, verse number 1. These words, of course, prophetic of Jesus. Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, declared that these words, when he read them in his boyhood synagogue, that these words were fulfilled in the ears of the people. Jesus read the words from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. It was at that point that the Lord Jesus, in his reading in his boyhood synagogue, stopped reading. He stopped in the middle of what we would call verse number 2 and did not continue on, because everything in verse 1 and up to that point in verse number 2, he said, this moment, this scripture is being fulfilled in your ears. But the next part is a prediction that is future yet to our day, perhaps not so far off, because the rest of it reads thus, that the Lord would proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, stop, that's where Jesus stopped, and the day of the vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. The day of the vengeance of our God, that is another terminology for the tribulation period, a time period yet future to our day. But if we were to read down, beginning in verse number 3, all the way through verse number 11, we would find that after that tribulation period, there will be restoration for Israel. The nation of Israel will be restored in a kingdom age, and Jesus will be the coming king. If it is one thing that the prophets teach, it is this, that one day there will be a literal, real kingdom where Jesus will rule and reign. You cannot read the prophets and come up with any other conclusion unless you try to change their wording or change the plain meaning of the text. But I want to invite your attention down, if you will, to verse number 10. Because in describing the joy that Israel will have in this kingdom age, when she becomes the head and not the tail, when she becomes the capital of the world, verse number 10 uses an illustration to express that joy. The Lord says to restored Israel in the millennial kingdom, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. This is Israel, the Jewish people, having turned in saving faith to Christ, as the Apostle Paul says they one day will. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, that is his righteousness. Those of us who know Christ as Savior, we're not good people because we're good people, because we're not good people. We have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is his righteousness, Paul said in Romans, that is imputed to our account, and it is imputed by faith. Israel, rejoicing in their salvation in that yet future age, says that he hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Note the next words, as a bridegroom decketh himself, note the words, with ornaments, and a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. That's when people get dressed up and they dress fancy. We don't necessarily consider the things that we wear, whether it would be jewelry or a ring or something like that. We don't necessarily consider it ornaments. But in our King James Bible, the word ornaments is used in this passage to speak of those people that have experienced the saving grace of God through personal faith in Jesus Christ, and most literally, the restoration of the Jewish people. But when we think of ornaments, and I'm going to draw an application from our passage this evening, when we think of ornaments, ornaments that come from God's grace, the word ornament to us often describes something we're doing this time of year, Christmas tree decorating with ornaments. Now, I don't know how you other men in the room feel about this. I typically do not participate in the ornamentation of the Christmas tree. I don't do that. I get it down from the attic that is above the garage. It comes down in tubs and all of the pieces, and then it's assembled. I don't know who actually does it because I leave the house after that. Amen. And when I come back, it's all assembled. Beautiful ornaments. But I love to see our Christmas tree when it's all put together. Now, can I tell you something about our Christmas tree? Our Christmas tree is not a designer Christmas tree. It is not. Now, I've seen some very, what do you, Pastor Monty, what's a designer tree? A designer tree is a tree where everything matches. A designer tree is where you buy all of the ornaments and someone somewhere, probably in California, has decided what your Christmas tree is going to look like. And every year there's a different fashion color, and every year there are different tones to the lights. And you could buy a fashion tree every year, and they're beautiful, don't get me wrong. A designer Christmas tree is eye-catching, but it is not heart-catching. So Pastor Monty, what kind of tree do you have? Well, we don't have a designer Christmas tree. We have a Christmas tree that, honestly, is a hodgepodge of everything that has landed on it throughout the decades. Now, I am not a purist in the thought that I have to have a real Christmas tree. We do not have, how many have a real Christmas tree? Do you have a real Christmas tree? All the rich people just raise their hands. They spend money on that every year. I don't like the idea of spending that kind of money. So we don't. We have an artificial Christmas tree. We have an artificial Christmas tree. But you say, Pastor Monty, well, that cheapens the season. No, actually it doesn't, because over time it saves you money and you can invest that money and compound the interest, and it's really a phenomenal thing. But we do have an artificial tree. I wrote, and I know some of you old-timers have heard this, but I'm singing this because some folks haven't. Do you know I wrote a song about my Christmas tree, my artificial tree? Years ago, here's my song. Rudy, listen. Okay, here's my song. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, you are the latest model. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, made from recycled plastic bottles. Thy verdant boughs of evergreen, molded from real neoprene. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, with a lifetime limited warranty. I love my Christmas tree. The thing I love most, the thing I love most about my Christmas tree, though, is the ornaments on that tree. Have you ever thought about people as ornaments? In this passage, the prophet predicts a day when the ornaments of salvation will be worn by the people of God when they turn to Christ as their Savior. They're not saved because they worked for it. They're saved because they believed. And so, in reality, these ornaments are, as it were, an ornament of grace. But every one of us who has believed on Jesus, and I'm drawing an application from our text, every one of us who has believed on Jesus is, in a sense, an ornament of the grace of God. When I look at our old Christmas tree with the colored lights, I love the colored lights, the multicolored lights. When I look at the old Christmas tree, I see the ornaments. I see some ornaments on the Christmas tree that are getting kind of old. Well, Pastor Monty, isn't that ornament kind of outdated? It probably is. I looked at it. Some of them, I think, are probably decades old. Some of them were around from when I was a kid. I was admiring our Christmas tree this afternoon just to refresh my memory for the sermon, and I looked at a little plaster cast molding that was like a frame, a picture frame thing, and then I had, as a little boy, I had painted it, I guess in school somewhere, I don't know, back when the public school allowed such things, painting a Christmas ornament. I had painted it, and then there's a picture of me as a child with a bowl haircut. How many remember the bowl haircut? That was so awful to do that to children with a bowl haircut, smiling off of the Christmas ornament. It's an old ornament, but the old ornaments, they add some character to the tree. May I remind folks here, we have a lot of people of different ages in our congregation tonight, but you know, the older folks in the congregation must never be forgotten. It is the older folks in our congregation that have seen this church through the decades. Many of them are still able to come. Many of them have already gone on to heaven. It's never going to be the habit of Faith Baptist Church to forget the old people who maybe went through some of the more difficult times this church had faced. Somebody says, well, Pastor Monty, you know, some of the old people, they can be irritating. Well, I've never found that to be the case. But have you ever had an ornament on your tree that was irritating? Oh, I have. Years ago, we had this ornament that was battery-operated, and it was before all of the apps and the technology of battery-operated things. And when you would turn it on, it was a Christmas ball like this. It was made of plastic, but it had a speaker in it. And when you would turn it on, it would play incessantly loud bird calls. Does anyone remember those? Yeah, they kind of came and went. Nothing was more irritating than turning that thing on and having your tree whistling at you, or having a crow caw out of your tree, or the scream of an eagle. Didn't belong in the Christmas tree. The older ornaments, I want to liken them tonight to the older saints that we have among us. Their memories, their character, their service to this church is far too valuable to forget. We cherish the old ornaments. Someone says, oh, Pastor Monty, the ornaments that you have, they're so out of vogue. Sometimes I don't like vogue. Sometimes it's good to turn the clock back in your mind and remember the character of a greatest generation that delivered this nation from the clutches of evil. Sometimes it's a good thing to embrace and appreciate the elderly in our midst and to attempt to live up to their character. The old ornaments have seen many, many Christmases, and the lessons they have learned are of value to us all. There's not just old ornaments, but there are a few, not many on my tree, but there are a few expensive ornaments. I was looking over the Christmas tree this afternoon, and something gleaming caught my eye. A 24-carat plate electroplate, 24-carat electroplate ornament. Now, we don't have very many of those. I don't even know where it came from. Maybe we stole it. I'm not sure, but there are some folks in the church that have the money. They've got wealth. They're wealthy. They're cultured people. These people are rare. But they are on the Christmas tree that is the church, the Lord's people. They are, in a sense, reminiscent of the wise men who brought to Jesus the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. We're reminded in Scripture, not many wise, not many noble are called, but some are, and we thank God for those. We thank God for their generosity, for their dedication, for their giving. For many people, sometimes their gift is actually the gift of giving to supply a need. There are a few expensive ornaments on the tree, not many, but we're thankful for them. I'm also thankful for the new ornaments. Every year we try to add something that is new to the tree. You say, why would you do that, Pastor? Well, to keep the variety going and just to keep adding to it. Something brand new. The new ornaments might represent the folks in our midst right now, and I can see some, who are new believers. You've recently trusted Christ as your personal Savior. You're brand new to all this Christianity stuff and all this church stuff. You know, you're very valuable to us. You put life into the church. You add interest to the church. I love it when someone becomes a Christian who doesn't know anything much about it. It's fun to be around them. I remember one time we had a young man become a Christian here at the church, and he joined the choir. And I remember when he joined the choir, he was so nervous. He was sitting next to me in the church choir, and he was so nervous about singing. I said, don't be nervous. And he said, I'm very, very nervous. And I remember when the music director did this motion with his hands and the choir stood up, he leaned over into my ear. This was a Sunday morning. He leaned into my ear, and he said this. He said, preacher, it's time to rock. Well, amen. The new ornaments, new folks have come to our church, been introduced to this church maybe by friends or maybe for some reason the Lord just led them here. We're very thankful for the new folks that are in this church. We want to get to know you better. We're thankful that you are, in a word, decorating our tree. There are also some missing ornaments, some missing ornaments. It seems once in a while something gets misplaced, doesn't it? I think back to a particular ornament that was a favorite of mine. Maybe it was a very fragile ornament, I'm not sure, but it was kind of an elongated ornament, but it wasn't in the shape of a ball, but I'll describe it as a Christmas ball. It was elongated, and it was kind of an aqua blue color. How many remember that color? I think Chevrolet used in the 1950s, that blue color on cars, remember that, with the chrome? That was classy. That was the color of this particular Christmas ornament. I don't know what happened to it, but somewhere over the year it got misplaced or is now gone. And when I think about that, I think about some of the folks in our congregation who were here this time last year but are not here this year. Perhaps the Lord has taken them home in death and we will miss them. For some, they've just moved away, and oftentimes they keep contact with us. Many perhaps are watching by way of live stream even this evening. But we never want to even forget about those that are missing. The reason is this. One day when the Lord's church is gathered together to glory at the time of the rapture of the church, one day we will all gather and worship at Jesus' feet. Let's not forget the folks that have gone on before us. Let's take a moment to remember them. I think most of the ornaments in our tree are what I would call the common ornaments. The common ornaments, they're nothing fancy. They're just plain Christmas balls. And really, in reality, that is probably the bulk of the Lord's church. It's the simple people that have trusted Christ as their Savior, kind of the homespun people. And Faith Baptist Church, we're just kind of down home people, homespun people. That's probably the most common. I remember as a boy one time, my mother had this idea that we were going to have an old-fashioned Christmas. I think we had watched too many episodes of Little House on the Prairie or something. I don't know what happened, but Mom decided that she was going to bake gingerbread cookies. And of course, I was excited just at the prospect of cookies, and I love gingerbread. And so Mom made all of these cookies, and she let them cool, and then she made all of this frosting, and she let us decorate each one. But she was very particular about how those cookies would look. The snowmen had to look like snowmen. The gingerbread men had to look like gingermen. The little reindeer, they had to look like reindeer. We had little red hots to make the nose for the reindeer, because every reindeer on our tree was named Rudolph. And when we were done, this mass of cookie dough that she had formed into cookies and baked became each and every one of them a work of art. We were not finished. My mother popped popcorn. She took thread and needle, and we took cranberries and popcorn and threaded them on long strands to decorate the tree. We weren't the kind of people that would traipse into a Walmart and buy some formaldehyde leaching plastic tinsel. No, not us. Ours was completely edible, and it was hung on the boughs of the tree. After the homespun tinsel was hung, we hung each gingerbread cookie with care. And then we went somewhere. That was our first mistake. My older brother John, who had ignored 14 years my senior, had ignored every aspect of this. John came out of his room, we were gone, and John saw the cookies on the tree. In stealth, my brother John took one huge bite out of every cookie on the tree. When we got back, there were arms missing. There were legs missing. There were sections of the snowman that were missing, and I won't even describe what was done to the reindeer because of potential action by PETA against us. Those are good Christmas memories. The common ornaments. We're just common people. There are also on our tree some broken ornaments. What are the broken ornaments? Those are the ornaments that are damaged by circumstance, maybe disease or heartbreak. Those are sometimes people who've had to face a broken home. You say, Pastor Monty, if an ornament gets broken, do you ever throw it away? No. No, there's value even in a broken ornament. There's memory in a broken ornament. And to be quite frank with you, in a very real sense, every one of us is a broken ornament. We are all broken people living in a broken world, and God's word says no one should ever be thrown away. There are no throwaway people in this world. So as a Pastor Monty, you know, so-and-so, they've just gone too far, they've messed up, it's gone too deep. There's no sin that's too deep for the grace of God. And it is broken people that need to be embraced by the love of Jesus Christ. Sometimes broken ornaments, repaired by God's grace, become by far the most beautiful. Some in this room will say, Pastor Mahdi, I've gone down some long and deep roads into sin. And I say to you that that brokenness, when turned over to Jesus Christ, can be changed to His glory. He values us, every one. And not one person in this room should regard himself as somehow better than another person, because in different ways and to different levels, in each one of our lives, we're broken people. There are hanging on our tree some tarnished ornaments. Some tarnished ornaments. Pastor Monty, what about the tarnished ones? They maybe by age or somehow because of some form of rust, I don't know. They just get a little tarnished. We don't usually clean them off because after all they'll probably break. We don't want that. But I think Jesus in Luke chapter 7 met a tarnished ornament. She was the sinful woman who came to worship at the feet of Jesus. Her loveliness was perhaps muted by sin, and yet she was made new by Jesus Christ. So, Pastor Monty, someone comes to church and they're not everything they ought to be. You look at me, everyone. Not one person in this room is everything he ought to be. Every one of us is tarnished. Can I tell you something about the blood of Jesus? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's an old gospel song we used to sing down south, and part of the words to it went like this: the blood of Jesus goes deeper than the stain has gone. God doesn't throw away people because they're imperfect. God embraces people. He invites sinners to come to Him. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus said, "The Son of Man is not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And so when I look at the tarnished ornaments on the tree, it reminds me that all of us have been touched by the ravages of sin, and yet all of us is redeemable by Christ's grace. And then the last category of ornaments, they are what I like to call the heart ornaments. The heart ornaments. Pastor Monty, what are those? Those are those popsicle stick, greeting card, library paste ornaments that were put together by children. You say, do you hang those on your tree? Absolutely. The heart ornaments are the ones possibly that evoke the greatest memories. They are homemade by a child. They are really precious for memory's sake. Maybe a family picture in a handmade frame or something made with typically popsicle sticks. I don't know why elementary teachers have such a fascination with popsicle sticks. I'll never understand it, but so they do. Some of those memories of Christmas's past are like the heart ornaments. They remind us. I was looking at that tree today, and I held in my hand some ornaments that I know not too many years ago my mother held in her hand. It's hard to say goodbye to someone who hasn't really left. For those of you who don't know, my mom will be 93 in April, and she's in a nursing home. Just a few miles from here, but for several years has suffered very severe dementia. That dementia continues to ravage her. She decided, by the way, and I'm grateful for this, she decided to settle on the emotion of joy. The workers at the home tell me that she's one of the most joyous people they've ever met. And my mother's always been that way. If you give her a cookie, she's happy. And they give her lots of cookies down there at the Danville Rehabilitation Center. But it's hard when I hold an ornament in my hand that I knew that my mother held in the days of her strength. It's hard when I think back over the years of the Christmases that we enjoyed together. My mother had a brilliant and sharp sense of humor, very similar to her son's. She actually had a very sharp tongue sometimes. My mother was a brilliant woman, very wise, very smart, very strong. I want my memories of my mother and those Christmases past to be the memories of Christmas where she had it all together. Today, if I go to see her, I'm not entirely certain that she recognizes who I am, though she's always pleasant and polite and does her best to pretend. I want my memories to be focused on those times when she would place an ornament that meant something special to her on that Christmas tree. When I held some of the old ornaments from growing up and looked at them today, I thought about my mother's hand placing that on the tree year after year after year to bring that level of joy, and she always did. You know, you don't throw things like that away. You hold on to the memories. Pastor, what about things now? I have to accept that God has a purpose in delaying her homegoing. I have to accept in my heart and believe that God is doing something well beyond anything that I could ever imagine. But I choose in my heart to think, as I hold the ornaments that she once held, I choose in my heart to think of her as the woman that she once was. May I say that every one of us is part of God's tree. Every one of us who knows Christ, we're an ornament. We all have different characteristics, and we all have different brokenness, different tarnish. Some of us have a different shine about us, and that's wonderful too. Some are new and some are old, but all of them to come together to make what is a beautiful Christmas tree filled with the ornaments of grace. This Christmas time, think about your part in God's great work. This Christmas time, think about your aspect, what you do, where you can shine the most for Christ. And this Christmas time, look at those ornaments again. Look at them in a little different way. Don't be tempted to throw something out. Oh, that doesn't match. We'll banish it to the box. No. Put that on the tree and remember that God's grace is sufficient for every one of us. That God loves us, and that each of us, regardless of our appearance, regardless of our problems, regardless of our handicaps, regardless of our background, that each one of us is infinitely valuable to God. Pastor Mahdi, how do you know that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his Son for you. And if this Christmas you say, Pastor, I'm not sure I know Christ, we want to show you how you can believe on him. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we do thank you for the grace of Christ that brings salvation. We thank you, Lord, for each person in this room has come to know Christ, and if there's any here who do not know him, may they come to know him on this very evening. Father, I pray that you'll bless the remainder of our time together, and Holy Spirit, that you'll work in hearts and lives. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, and thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.